evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Isabella Garrido. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are a few local news headlines. Starting off tonight, we have a few messages directly from the City of Kingston. New 2025 municipal fees and charges are now in effect. Every year, as part of the budget process, Financial Services works with all city departments to review fees and charges, ensuring they align with their policies and strategic goals. In December, Council passed a new bylaw to set the fees for 2025, and revenues from these fees will be included in the Mayor's 2025 operating budget. Most services with fees are also partly paid for by taxes. The 2001 Municipal Act allows them to charge fees for services which are a big part of the city's revenue, about 15% of the total budget. It's important to review and adjust these fees every year to keep a fair balance between what users pay and what taxes cover. If they don't adjust the fees, property taxes would have to be raised to cover the costs of these services. While some fees stayed the same or were adjusted for inflation, such as parent and taught swimming lessons, pet licenses, and on-street parking fees, others like monthly FitPass memberships, marriage solemnization, and garbage bag tags are increasing. These increases help maintain service levels, reflect what the market rate for a service is, and are set in accordance with council-approved strategies. The city states that any increase to fees can add pressure to your household budget, and they apologize for not sharing this information sooner. All fees and charges are now updated on their website. You can search for the service you access to see the current pricing. To see all 2025 fees and charges as approved by Council on December 17th, you can visit the City of Kingston website for the full Council agenda. The City also released a full statement specifically about the raise in bag tag fees. The statement goes as follows. Solid waste, trash, junk, rubbish, waste, no matter what you call it, household garbage is expensive. In addition to the environmental costs of producing waste, there are financial costs too. When you throw out that bag of garbage, a combination of tax dollars and bag tag fees pay for labor, fuel costs, equipment maintenance, disposal fees, and more. Households all have one free bag every week with a fee applicable, the bag tag program, to any additional garbage bags. In the case of garbage bag tags, this year's $2 per bag tag increase reflects the rising costs the city faced in its solid waste division. The first time this fee has changed in more than 20 years. The cost to deliver garbage collection service has increased by $700,000 from 2021, when it cost $4.8 million, to the budgeted amount for 2025, $5.5 million. The actual landfill costs and fuel surcharges have also increased from $93 per metric ton in 2021 to $104 in 2024 per metric ton. The fee increase of the additional garbage bag tags to $4 will help to cover some of the costs, but still leaving a property tax subsidy of $4.4 million to support your first free garbage bag. The city states, quote, "We know the increase surprised many people, and we apologize for not sharing this information sooner. If you have any bag tags you bought before 2025, you can continue to use a single tag on additional bags. Remember, all households can still put out one bag for free, plus your compost bin and unlimited residential recycling. Find ways to reduce your waste and positively affect climate change at cityofkingston.ca/waste. In a final message from the city this evening, they recently released a winter services response plan. In a final message from the city this evening, they recently sent out a memo reminding folks of the Winter Services Response Plan. The 2024-25 Winter Services Response Plan, effective December 1, 2024 to March 31, 2025, outlines the services available within the City of Kingston to support people experiencing homelessness during the winter season. The Winter Services Response Plan includes locations offering emergency beds and overnight services, including summaries of services offered and hours of operation, weekday and weekend daytime drop-in services, warming centers, and street outreach services and prevention diversion services. The Winter Services Response Plan is designated to adapt and evolve based on demand and availability of appropriate locations. It is important to note that some sites are scheduled to add capacity over the winter season and in response to changes to services at other sites. The plan is available to read on the City of Kingston website. Next up, we will be revisiting a story from December regarding labor relations at Queen's University. As labor disruptions remain a possibility for this year, and Queen's unions and the university ramp up for pivotal discussions this month, the following story contains the latest updates on the situation headed into January 2025.
Recent strike votes from Queen's University workers signal possible labor disruptions in the new year. A release from QP earlier this week confirmed that across three Kingston groups, 96% of members voted in favor of strike action. This includes trades, custodial and food service workers, educational and laboratory technical staff, and library technicians. According to the release, most of these Queen's workers have seen their wages fall below inflation by 11 to 14% in recent years, and many have had to take on second or third jobs to make ends meet. For those in trades, hourly wages are $10 to $15 lower than at other Kingston employers. QP254 President Marie Edwards, representing technicians, spoke to the current state of negotiations in an interview with CFRC. What have you been experiencing so far, and what are you hearing from your fellow Queen's workers? Where is the university falling short here?
The biggest problem among our members right now is wages. The constraint of 1% wage increase over the last 3 years has impacted the members greatly, especially considering how inflation has driven the prices of everything up. So if you look at our buying power, we've gone down in the last number of years by roughly 10% of buying power. So members are having, they're having a hard time putting money away to save. Some are having difficulty making ends meet with rent. And some of it, we have a fairly broad range of salary. Some of them are having difficulty with food. They're experiencing food insecurity.
And I was wondering if you could speak to the circumstances and the state of negotiations that's brought us here where Queen's workers are ready to strike in the new year.
They're feeling that the university is not listening when it comes to compensation. There was a request to have a wage opener clause in the last collective agreement because, we knew that the wage constraint did come down from government. The university denied our request for this. And we're concerned that they're going to come into it looking for a similar increase that they've given us in the last number of years. So in the last 10 years, our wage increases have been an average of 1.25.
While it is anticipated that wage negotiations will be difficult, Edwards did report progress in non-wage related bargaining, which took place just prior to the interview. You did mention that you just came back from bargaining with non-wage related issues. How did that go?
That went very well. There's been good discussion on the language and the changes. Some of the changes were to align the collective agreement with language from labor laws, that kind of thing. Some of them were also to recognize, for instance, the recognition of a family member may mean different things to different groups.
When asked for comment by CFRC, the university simply responded stating they are engaged in separate talks with several unions, and they remain committed to reaching negotiated agreements that are capable of being ratified by the parties involved. While workers are ready to strike, Edwards has hope an agreement will be reached before it comes to that. The latest update from Queen's, since it was released that QP workers are ready to strike, was simply that you're still in negotiations. Do you foresee any change in circumstances before the new year that would prevent a strike?
We're all working towards reaching an agreement to avoid a strike. But the workers want to be in a position where they can, if they're going to strike, we want to strike in a manner where it will have the most impact so that we can get it dealt with and finished as quickly as possible. Because really, everyone wants to be back at work.
And do we have any ideas on timeline?
We have not been offered any monetary proposals at this time. The university has not given us any idea when we might be expecting those. We do have a number of bargaining dates scheduled for January, towards the end of January, the 24th, 28th, and 31st. So I'm hoping that there will be some monetary proposals on the table at that time.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC weather and traffic report.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, January 6th. We had a daytime high of -8, but it felt much colder and a mix of sun and cloud, and that is dropping down to -13 overnight. Tuesday, January 7th, a daytime high of -7 with a 40% chance of flurries, dropping down to a bone-chilling -16 overnight. Wednesday, January 8th, going to see a daytime high of -9 with a 30% chance of flurries, dropping a full 10 degrees to closer to -19 overnight. Thursday, January 9th, we are going to see a daytime high of -8 with a 30% chance of flurries, dropping down to -12 overnight. Friday, January 10th, high of -4, it'll be cloudy. We'll see a drop of about 7 degrees to -11 overnight. Saturday, January 11th, daytime high of -5 with a 40% chance of snow, dropping down to -9 overnight. And Sunday, January 12th, we're going to see a daytime high of -3 and it will be cloudy. Monday, January 13th, we'll see a high of -5, dropping down to -10 overnight. And Tuesday, January 14th, a high of -8 with an overnight low of -11. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, January 6th, 2025. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl. Expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles / Edwin to Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay Active Transportation Improvements. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, cycling, and pedestrian improvements. For project details, please visit Get Involved Kingston. Motorists are advised to seek alternative routes. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Kingston-based folk trio The Kildares with their first single called The Escape, a song about rekindling hope by escaping the everyday with someone special. Featuring energetic mandolin and warm harmonies, the lyrics connect with anyone wishing to sneak away into the night. It's the first release off The Kildares' upcoming debut album, Faster Than Light, due this spring, 2025. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream the Kildares single The Escape now on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We all know escape all this easily. Come on, love, let's run away. If we are faster than the light, just disappear into the night. Love, I swear, they'll never know we're gone. Do you believe what they tell you? All the rumors are true. I am haunted, just like you. All this unwrapping of the heart. I swear, they'll never know we're gone. 'Cause we see those mountains in the distance. Let's drive until they're gone. And the fading lights, they're on, just leading me away. Do you?
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a song from local metal band Exigen's debut EP entitled Game of Puppets, released on all streaming platforms on Friday, January 3rd. Featuring four heavy genre blending tracks, the EP was created by Ben Snyder, Joe Schell, Nathan Graham, and Isaac Heathcock, and produced by Terry Benn at Switzerville Sound Retreat. We've been fortunate to have amazing fans and friends supporting us, says the band, and they hope to keep the metal scene growing in Kingston. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Game of Puppets on your favorite platforms and enjoy today's selection from this new EP called Fleeting Moments, here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single by the Sugar Pills called Sugar Pill. The latest track gives listeners a window into a night out in Kingston with the band. It speaks to making your own fun regardless of time or place. Sugar Pill has that quintessential feel-good factor, leaving you with an optimistic glow. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Sugar Pill by the Sugar Pills on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Liam's at the bar stealing coasters. Isaiah's outside admiring our poster. Evan's waiting on a drink he ordered 20 minutes ago.